All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
We are talking about all the things practice match related, what we're looking for in the ones that are coming up, and also what has happened in the games that have already been played. We've got footy to talk about. Let's go!
Hodge has done it from nowhere. Hodge did the goal from inside the city. Sheed from the boundary. Dusty.
Welcome to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter/X at Ball Boys Fantasy, and I'm joined by my co-host, Luke Rogerson, coach of the Mighty Oxlongs. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. I cannot tell you how excited I am, even if it's grainy, shit camera work, poor commentary type football. I'm so excited to have footy back and just something different to talk about other than what we've just been rambling on about for the last couple of months.
All the hypotheticals, all the ifs and buts and maybes. Now we get to finally see it on our TV screens.
It's a good feeling, mate. It's a good feeling. But
we've even got stats. We've got some games with stats.
I tell you, having a game with stats was out of this world after watching the one before it. Yeah. So you didn't have to do as much guessing with that one. Before we talk about fantasy and we talk about practice games, we're actually very excited to also share the launch of Keeper Fantasy. I don't know if you guys can see this on the camera, but Mitch is actually nursing a little half chub under the table because you love draft stuff, mate, and Keeper Fantasy has you covered. The old levitating laptop trick. What's going on there? But Keeper Fantasy's got you covered for all things draft. We know that, let's just say maybe the AFL draft platform has its limitations, and Keeper Fantasy just fucking does away with all of those. So it gives you a comprehensive tool to manage all of your drafts, your keeper leagues, all the things that we need when we're playing AFL draft.
Yeah, and there is a shit ton of features included in this new platform, guys. Like things that I think are game changers. So things like pick trading. So if you're in a keeper or dynasty league, trading future picks, absolutely essential. Flexible round lockouts. If you want to go back to the fixed lockouts of old, you can do that. Free agent auction bidding. Fab budget is what I think all fantasy leagues should be, where everyone has an equal opportunity to get all the hot free agent waiver-wise. Custom player positions, tailored scoring, record books, history, you name it. It's all wrapped up in their website and also an app which you can get on your mobile device. So if you're serious about draft, head over to Keeper and sign up today and get your league sorted.
That is some high-tech stuff, mate. You had bloody things coming out of the wazoo there. I have no idea what was going on. Get over to Keeper
Trust
Fantasy.
Trust me, Luke. It's good.
You beauty.
All right, let's go and talk about these practice matches because we're going to start looking a bit general. We'll talk about some of the actual games that have happened so far in a little bit. But first of all, Luke, when we are looking at these preseason games, which I advise everyone to do so, get on. They're on KO.
Yep.
They are grainy, you know, maybe the camera angle's a little different, but
We're spoilt normally, aren't we? So
we are.
They're not bad.
It's very worthwhile at least watching. What I try to do is watch every single game at least for the first half is what I try to do. But what are we looking for when we're watching these preseason games? Because there's a lot of information coming at us, a lot of things to factor in, but what are the big ticket points of what we should be looking for and gaining out of watching these practice matches?
Yeah, there's a few things we're looking for, and I do understand what you're saying. It's very easy to get kind of caught up. It's the first time we've watched footy in a long time, so everything you see, you want to jump on, you want to change your team the minute you see something. But, you know, just temper the expectations a little bit. And
fantasy coaches, we don't normally overreact.
No.
We're level-headed.
We are. There's no nothing ragey about the way that we go about playing. But one of the things that we're looking for is role. So I've got here in the notes that role is king. And it's so easy when you look at these practice games to look at the score or hypothesize what the score is when you don't have the stats.
And there's so many legends out there. And shout out to everyone who does this. I think it's incredible that doing their own stats at home. Yeah. I don't know how many times, like, if you're watching those climbs, you have to rewind back and check who was that handball for to get those. So true dedication from the sweaties out there. So shout out to you guys. But yeah, always take those kind of things with a grain of salt. And even the official statted games, we're always taking the stats with a pinch of salt. It's not really the be-all and end-all.
Yeah, a good example of that from the Frio Indigenous All-Stars game is, I think, is Andy Brayshaw. So I think he finished with, it was 81, double-check me.
91.
91. So it's kind of, it's not what we're hoping for mid-season, but he had the role, CBAs were there, he's ticking the legs over, and you don't look at that and think, oh that's going to be reflective of exactly what he does in the season. So it's role is king.
And the vice versa as well. You know, if someone pops off in these next few games and the score's a big 120 and you hadn't previously considered them, it's not always the right idea to go, okay, this guy scored big, get him in my side because I haven't considered him to this point. Like, in the past, players like Jordan Clark, before he was a breakout last year, he had a big game in the preseason. I think Jaden Short had a 170 at one point, went on to do basically what he did the year before. Not too much of a change there. So some of these scores can lie. Some of them, however, are legit, and trying to pick and choose which is real and which is not can be a challenge, because I think it was another one, like Patrick Cripps a few years ago, when he had a bounce-back season, he had a strong preseason, and that transferred across. So it can be tricky to decipher which is real and which is sort of a bit of a pump fake, but there is a few things to do. I think one thing when you talked about role, and I think this is extremely important, remember and be aware of who is not playing in the side.
Bless you. Bless you.
Excuse
again.
Me. Because that's going to obviously affect their role. So if you're watching a player go, oh, yeah, he's in the midfield, he's in the CBAs, but there's two walk-up start midfielders not playing, well, then you've got to be a little bit skeptical of, okay, is this going to continue? Is he a top one or two CBAs with those guys out, or is he like third or fourth? Because then you shuffle everyone down, and then it's not as a rosy picture there.
This next one, I think, is maybe a little bit rich to expect that everyone can do this, but try and watch the game. The stats don't always tell the story, and even on those games, those match sim games where we don't have stats, you jump on Twitter, you have a look at what people are hypothesizing the stats were, or who played well. And those, there's so many people out there that those can be really reliable write-ups, but if you can, try and watch the game. Yeah. And like you said, you really only have to watch the first half to try the first half. Yeah, and the other thing too is because they're on KO now, you can go back and watch them, fast forward through goal celebrations, fast forward through quarter times, these types of things. You could knock over the first half of a game in a reasonable time.
Or so, yeah.
So I think if you possibly can, watch the game. But I know that's not possible for everyone.
Yeah. I think we've said before that, like, you know, time invested usually correlates with players who do better in their fantasy, and this is the time, right?
I hate to think how much time you've invested in fantasy over the last 3 years.
Mate, look at the hat on my head. So,
let's go.
Got him. But yes, I do think, especially, and some games are more relevant than others. Like, there might be ones where you're really torn on a certain player. All right, well, make sure you make the time to go and watch that game. You know, there's some games where, especially the ones that are maybe like the round zero teams, probably not as important to watch those teams play in these practice matches because, well, we're going to get a full dress rehearsal in round zero, and that's going to dictate a lot what we do with those players. So, but especially the players, the teams that are not going to play round zero, get as much of the information now while you can. So I think that's important.
Well, the next thing I've got written here, I think it probably goes without saying, but just what you see in the preseason compared to what you would actually expect from the club either. Based on the previous season or what you expect in the actual season, because sometimes the issue is you might look at the practice game and go, oh, X, Y, Z all got midfield time. Oh, that's fantastic. But then you're not paying attention to the fact that they ran eight players through the midfield. Yeah. You won't find an AFL team that runs eight players through the midfield in any given game through the season. So just kind of don't get the expectations up in that sense. Like when we were watching again the Frio Indigenous All-Stars game, Frio had so many players running through that midfield and not all of those guys will be getting meaningful minutes in there during the season. So,
and that's why I sometimes focus on that first half, because it typically is that second half that you do see clubs experiment a little bit more. They'll try some things out, see if it works, if it doesn't. And that, can be sometimes hard to decipher. Sometimes it's game style things like... What was it last year when North Ball came out and there was all the rage? And I don't think it lasted all that long into the season, or it looked a little bit different when the season actually started proper. So, keep an eye on those kind of things and always, compare them with what we've, the big data sample we've got in the past and see if it marries up. And if it's completely lopsided and different, well, then have a bit of skepticism. Yeah, so I think that's a good shout.
Now, your boy Tim English the other day...
Oh, some people are panicking.
Well, this is how you were selling it. You were saying that he wasn't getting out of second gear. Talk to us.
Well, so these players that are guns at their club, I think the traders have said this before. I think was it Dane Swan said, if you try...
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
In a preseason game, you're a loser, I think was essentially the sentiment of that. So these guys who are guns that are like walk-up starts, you know, veterans of the club, they're not going to be going very hard. They've got their spot. They're just trying to go out there, execute the game plan, not get injured, and, you know, highlight some of the other players that are maybe trying to establish their spot in the side. So especially for those premiums, you're just making sure, okay, they look healthy, they're playing the role I expect them to play, and there's no weird, wonky curveballs getting thrown their way. If they tick those boxes, then most of your reasoning for picking them should be... This should not really factor into too much. Yeah. It's the guys, the mid prices, the guys at new clubs, the cash cows, those you know, coin flip decisions, that are the guys that we're really going to hyperfixate on. But your premiums that you've spent most of the time thus far researching, these ones are just kind of, all right, they're ticking the box, cool, I'm happy.
Yeah. The last thing I've got here, and it's amongst other things, but the last thing I've got here is game time. So try to get an idea for how much game time this player is playing. If you are watching the game and you're not paying close attention and you feel like, oh, wow, this player, you know, started really well, but they slowed down, but you haven't quite realised that they're actually sitting on the bench and they've been parked for the last...
And some of these guys, like these games, they'll have 26 players or more, or different rotations. Some of them are longer quarters, some of them are shorter quarters, all these sort of things. So they're a bit different.
So just keep an eye on that as an indicator for... Why a player might be a little bit more quiet than usual, or even vice versa.
And then you can also, once, especially probably the more community series games when we have more like sort of legit stats, time on ground percentage and things like that, then you can start to work out things like points per minute as well. I think that's a very valuable stat in the preseason, because, you know, you'll see some players maybe get ice or lower time on ground than they otherwise normally would. But with that, you can then figure out, okay, are they at a similar points per minute than they would be otherwise? Like Tristan Sherry, unfortunately, you started him, and he went down in that round one matchup. You know, some of the precursors in the preseason games were there with his points per minute. It showed in that first game, but until he got injured. And obviously, last year he broke out. So, the points per minute, I think, is a pretty solid stat, especially for those players fighting for some good, to get into the main side.
Now, if you are a little bit time poor... Like we mentioned before.
Oh, we got you guys.
We got you covered, because if you want to head over to www.patreon.com/ballboys, for every game of this preseason, both the match sims and for the community series, we're going to be doing a little write-up on the Ball Boys Patreon for the Ball Boys family that just kind of analyzes the game and some key players that we were looking at throughout that game. So if you have no time to watch the games and you're not sweaties like us...
And if you don't want to sit through Richmond versus West Coast... at 11:30 during the day.
I almost had to do a welfare check on you, mate. I thought, this guy's not going to last.
And a Richmond team that didn't even send over anyone over the age of 24, basically. My God, what a paint drying would have been far more entertaining than,
mate,
watching that game.
You got in the trenches for us. You watched it. You were typing diligently with your notes. I thought you did a zinger job, mate.
Yeah, so we're going to go and talk about these practice match points that have happened so far. But the Patreon members who have joined up, they've already got the knowledge. They're in the know already. They're ahead of you guys. So if you don't want to get left behind, head on to patreon.com/theballboys. But let's talk about some of these games that happened so far. Cast our minds back to the first game on Saturday, which was the Bulldogs versus Essendon. Couple of notes in this one. Bonds didn't play. Bailey Dale didn't play.
Libba
didn't play, were some of the key names out. I never found out why Bailey Dale didn't play. I'm pretty sure Bont and Libba were just being managed. I'm assuming Bailey Dale was a similar story. You know, some of their just, I guess, more prominent, more important players being managed.
There's no need. No need to see him.
So no word on injuries or anything like that for any of those guys. But let's talk about some of the players that did play in the midfield, namely Riley Sanders and Matt Kennedy. What did you see from those boys, Luke?
Yeah, Sanders looked like one of the... I mean, Ed Richards was there as well, but yes. I would say Sanders and Richards probably looked like the first choice mids there at the Bulldogs. Mm-hmm. And Kennedy was there for the starting CBA, but was the first to go out of there and push forward with Garcia coming in a little bit.
Yep.
Like you say, it's hard to glean anything when you're missing three of your big names, but... If I was a betting man, Sanders and Ed Richards are the guys that I think are likely to fill those CBAs. And we've heard talk that Kennedy will play a little bit forward. So I feel bad. I hope it's not the case. But poor Matt Kennedy might have gone from Carlton to the Western Bulldogs to play exactly the same role.
Yeah, he very well could have. Maybe he stays in the side, a bit less of a sub vest throughout the season. But yeah, it could be a similar role in total. I think with these types of players, when you have players that are out, all you can expect the players that are still there to do is play the role. Like if, for example, Bont and Libba weren't there and Sanders wasn't playing the midfield, huge red flag.
Yeah.
Because, okay, he's not playing the midfield when there's guys out, when these guys come back and he's barely going to be in there. So whilst there's still stuff you want to see happen, so far, ticking boxes. I think Sanders did what he needed to do. I think he played most of the game while some of the other guys maybe sat out after halftime or three-quarter time. So he was in there getting a full run. Looks pretty good. So I think you got what you wanted to see. Tim English. I saw some people on X, on Twitter, getting a little bit nervous about Tim English because he wasn't the first player in the ruck to start the game. Do you think this is a concern or... Are we just
I think it's
reading into it a bit too much?
Easily explained. Crosley's playing for a position on the list, and the English most certainly is not. So there's no incentive for the Bulldogs to start English and just say, hey, Crosley, here's the keys, have a go, have a crack. And then English was just playing the support role on that day. So, like I said, ticked the legs over, did what he needed to do.
I almost see this as a positive. And maybe I'm, the English guy, you wrote the Decker DT article, but... Crosley, he doesn't have a contract yet, right? He's fighting for that,
correct,
that SSP signing. So the fact that they're having a look at him, that's to determine whether or not they're going to sign him, okay? What I liked is the fact that Sam Darcy, Rory Lobb weren't the options in the ruck alongside Tim English. They were exclusively in forward and defense, respectively. So to me, they're trying to avoid using those guys as your backup ruckman. And Tim English should play solo. I don't expect Crosley to be in there alongside him. I think he's a depth piece if English does go down because I don't really have anyone. And the reason they're looking at Crosley is because they don't want those other guys being in the ruck line, which I think bodes well for protecting English's floor. The main thing for me, he played.
Yeah.
Like, he had that abdominal niggle. He's obviously out there. They're resting some other guys. They're not resting him. He played. That's a big tick for me. So when people point to say English has had an interrupted preseason, to me, I sort of go, it's not an interrupted preseason that would prevent me picking him so far.
All right. I've got to cut you off, or this will be the Team English podcast.
Okay.
Rookie for the Dogs, Sam Davidson, looked good out on the wing. So
he did look good.
He ran hard, and he's a cheap forward option. So we'll keep our eyes peeled on that one.
We have an apology to make as well regarding this man as well, because... there's a member in our Patreon army who... We did a little team reveal on Valentine's Day. So another thing, if you want to go check out the Patreon, you can see our teams at the moment. But we didn't have this guy in our team. And a very smart coach pointed out, said, Sam Davison, he's not on your side. What are you guys doing? So apologies to that man. Name escapes me right now. I think, Luke, you're looking it up. But very good observation. I think... Since that game, he's made his way onto my side.
He has.
He's lurking in the showers at least.
Mate,
so
we love when they're lurking in the showers. So
yeah, Sam Davidson, 230K forward. Definitely looks like he has at least some good role security. He ran really hard.
It was Clanger. It was Clanger on the ball boys open forum.
Shout out Clanger.
Mate, and we said we wouldn't reveal it on the...
We had a Clanger.
He's the worst kept secret in fantasy now after the way he played. Yeah. So
he'll be on everyone's lips.
Now,
talk to me about this next guy from Essendon because...
Well, this one pisses me off a little bit because when my old man texted us and did a little team reveal of his own to us, he had Dylan Scheel starting in the midfield. And I think both of us looked at it and thought,
Dylan Scheel.
That guy's lost his mind. He's just getting old and senile. But then Dylan Scheel came out and was like a Dane Zorko off.
He was the bee's knees, mate.
What's going on?
Yeah, he looks... I haven't looked at the stats or what everyone reckons the stats were, but to my eye, I reckon he had the highest score of the game, at least while he was out there.
He's been a waxy boy back there.
He was collecting a lot of it very, very quick, faster than I remember Dylan Shield being. So, good run off halfback. Is he a legit option? He's in that Doherty, Chera, Day price bracket, those 700,000 mid only.
Yeah, he's got the early buy, of course, on that same buy as Will Day. But this one, just keep your eyes peeled, I think.
Yeah. I think it's definitely... He's on my radar now. I'm trying not to overreact. I think there were... So Ridley wasn't there, but he will miss the start of the year. I'm not sure if there was any other players out. I don't think there was too many other players out. So yeah. I think that role is legit. Yeah, we'll see. I think he's undervalued.
Isaac Kacko has been a popular name throughout the preseason. Nothing wrong with the way he played, and he kicked, I think it was a couple of fantastic goals in the end, but it's just that small forward role.
He played a bit deeper than I was hoping to see.
Yeah, and it's just one of those ones where you put a little miniature flag on it, and it's a hard role to score in, we know, even for the best players in the competition, let alone a rookie. So it's one of those ones that if you don't have great rookies and he has decent job security, maybe you can entertain it, but I think we all have our fingers crossed that maybe we can get better rookies.
Yeah, the forward line's looking like it's presenting a few options as far as rookies goes. We'll be doing a deeper dive in terms of the must-have rookies next week.
Yeah.
So we'll fire this one a little away in the old memory bank and put it against his name when we're assessing him. Some other Bombers rookies, Zach Reed and Saad Al-Houli. We'll start with Reed first. He was playing tall defender. Now, there was no Ben Mackay, so potentially goes down to that third tall when he's back in. He still got involved a little bit. I'm a bit on the fence with him. From what I understand, he's got decent job security. I don't know if he's going to be a big scorer for us, but the defense line looks a little bit tougher than maybe some of the other rookie lines. So we'll see how he looks. I'd like to see Mackay come back in and if Reed goes a bit more to that intercepting role to see if his scoring potential is a bit better.
Yeah, Saad Al-Houli as well looked maybe a little bit off the level in the couple occasions that he had a crack at the pill. The other thing too is...
Saad Al-Houli.
Yeah, nice. Well played. The other thing with Dylan Shield going back there is those are potentially points that we may have been expecting or hoping for him to get.
It looks like he's definitely on a wing. So maybe not on a wing for the A team. Like he might potentially be VFL to start. I wasn't super enthused by what I saw from Saad Al-Houli. Let's talk about Fremantle versus the Indigenous All-Star. We'll focus mainly on the Fremantle side because, unfortunately, the Indigenous All-Stars is not an AFL team we can select our fantasy players from, but Fremantle is. Now, I didn't watch this one, so I want you to tell me Nathan O'Driscoll was the name that was all over Twitter after I came home from my dinner.
Yeah.
What happened? And I looked at the score. Anytime you score 107 points, you ton up when you're pricing the 400,000s. That gets people excited.
Yeah, definitely. And he was on Twitter for good reason because it was not just the score, but it was the role and it was the way that he did it that was so impressive. We talked just before about not necessarily just jumping at the score, but going and watching the game. And when you watch this game, he was all over it like a rash on a hooker. So the thing which maybe we didn't expect was some CBA time, but even when he was on the wing, he just seemed to be involved in everything.
How much CBAs are we talking here?
I wasn't doing the old county.
No, but like to your eye, like so you would have had Caleb Sarong.
So there were quite a few guys going through there. So Sarong, Brayshaw, Johnson was going through there. O'Driscoll, obviously Erasmus was going through there.
There's Tayden Young playing.
He wasn't. So there's other names that escaped me. But from what I saw, Erasmus was good in close, but O'Driscoll seemed better. O'Driscoll has a bigger body than I first thought. I won't say reminded me of Nat Fyfe, but you can see he's a guy that could score in different ways. So good above his head when required.
Well, he had 10 marks and 6 tackles.
Happy to lay a tackle. So it was very good on the eye test. And this is one that you very much put a pin in and watch closely over the next little bit.
I do remember, I think it was Chris, last year's winner, the very start of the preseason, flagged Nathan O'Driscoll as an option. And I believe he's a Freo fan. So
been watching closely.
Yeah. Look at that kick to handball ratio. 16 kicks, one handball.
Yeah.
That's elite stuff.
He was doing it in a lot of different ways. So I don't want to harp on because we've just seen one game, but if the role is there for him, priced at what he is, it could force us to rejig our structures a little bit.
Let's talk about the rucks for Frio as well. Obviously, news has come through that Sean Dyce is going to miss the start of the season. Yeah. They're looking about rounds 3 to 5 is when they expect him to be back. I would venture and be conservative, maybe rounds 4 or 5 with Sean Darcy and how his, you know, recovery seems to be.
Yeah.
Liam Reedy looks like he had the lion's share of the ruck contest. He had 36 hitouts to Luke Jackson's 10 for 79 points. Now, he went up against Cohen Livingston, who, no shade to the guy. I've never heard of him before. Is this a positive or is this a negative for those maybe considering a Liam Reedy as either an R2 or an R3, the fact that he scored 79 against Livingston?
I think regardless, I'm not going there. That's one that has an expiry date, like you spoke about with Lemon a couple of podcasts ago. So I mean, we're all hoping that potentially Harry Boyd doesn't have an expiry date as like that R3 option as well. So it's not one that I particularly entertain. And the other thing too is if at any point Frio's not liking that, then they've got Luke Jackson there that they can bump up his ruck time as well, which probably
scares me. You
can maybe
see a sub potential and move Jackson full-time ruck.
Yeah, you can see that just game to game. If the game's not quite going their way, that's a great way to mix the game up. Jackson into the ruck, Reedy off, bring another runner on.
Different look, isn't it?
You can see it. So the only thing was there, I wasn't super impressed with Luke Jackson. I saw some stats getting around about the fact that he played forward ruck and he played as a CBA midfielder.
Yeah.
And even though that was a little bit novel, I still didn't really see a lot that I liked. Maybe not from a fantasy perspective.
I'm not in on Jackson. It's the same thing as last year. It's deja vu, right?
I think it is. Yeah. Don't really need to spend too much time there, I don't think.
Yeah, so you're not ready to put Liam on your bench in R3? Reedy?
I think you got me 2-0 so far.
All right, lift your game. All right, let's talk about West Coast and Richmond. Cue the crickets. ironically, I think the biggest winner out of this game was a player who didn't play. I think the biggest winner out of this game is Jaden Short, because from what I could see, and they were talking about on the commentary team as well, Richmond were definitely playing a much slower game style. They were chipping it around more. And this was a practice match against West Coast at 9:30 in the morning over there. So you've got every chance that there's nothing on the line. Like, who cares if you lose by 100? Play as fast as you want. Even then, they're chipping around. So to me, that's a positive in the favor of their game style is going to shift. And like I said on a few podcasts before, we already did start to see at the end of last year. So to me, that's a tick in the favor of Jaden Short because of Richmond's game style. It makes sense though, right?
If Shorty's playing off halfback, then I think that's a big, big tick for him. A little bit of talk that he has been doing a bit of work on the wing, which we have seen him do in the past, with some other young guys coming off halfback.
From what I saw today, they need him down back.
Yeah, and let's hope.
And the other thing with this game, Richmond rested a lot of players. Like, they basically anyone who was over 25.
Yeah,
didn't play.
I actually think Taranto will be a beneficiary of a slower game style too. Sounds weird to say when you think he's, you know, a contested player, but I think he pops up for more plus sixes than people realise.
The other takeaway I've got from this one from a Richmond standpoint, and it's kind of strange because I think he was one of the best players for Richmond out there, but I think Sam Lala might be stocks down for me.
Layla or Lawler, you've said it to me 3 times this afternoon. You've pronounced it differently every time.
Yeah, I think it's Lawler. I don't know why I said Layla. Lawler. I don't know, man.
I think it's Lawler.
My mind's mush after watching this game.
Richmond, mate.
Lawler, he basically the first quarter played exclusively as a forward. And in a game where there's no Taranto, no Prestia, no Jacob Hopper, like we said before with Sanders, I want you to be ticking the box. And I know he's a rookie. I know he's 340K. So we don't expect him to be a 50% CBAs. But when you are priced at the most expensive point of the first-year players, in a side that's not going to score very many points, I would want a better role than what I saw in the first quarter, considering that three of the top three midfielders, all three of them, were not playing.
You're not going to want to be in Richmond's forward line this year.
No, so if he's behind players like McAuliffe, Thompson Dow, all these other guys, then I'm not super interested in paying $340,000 when there are other good options in our midfield, put it that way. So I wouldn't rule him out. He still looked good. I think he could be one of Richmond's top five or six players this season. But from a fantasy scoring point of view, it was a little bit of a red flag for me.
Now, over at West Coast, you're telling me that Jack Graham and Liam Duggan were probably the two top mids for West Coast. Does that change when Kelly and Harley Reid come back, do you think?
I don't think so. I think Jack Graham and Liam Duggan are going to be in the top four midfield rotation.
Okay.
Graham started the game like a house on fire. Massive tackle to start. Got a hold in the ball, I think, like first possession. Had like 15 points in the first 3 minutes. Then went missing for a patch. Then came back on in the third period. It was only three periods. And went big again. So there, I think there's going to be games where Jack Graham's going to have huge scores. I can also see games where he goes missing. So it's a hard read. I want to watch him a bit closer with some of those other guys in there. Liam Duggan, I think he's going to be a midfielder. He probably had the most ball out of anyone. But the stats suggest that Liam Duggan scores better at half back than midfield. So take away what that with you will. I think he looked good, but there are a few dominant ball winners that have to come back into the side.
A couple of rookies, Hutchinson, Hewitt, Bo Allen, playing kind of as we'd expect. Hutchinson out on the wing. Little bit of inside time, but
yeah, little bits. I don't think when the real stuff starts, when you bring in Kelly and Reed, that he'll get much time in there. The thing that's interesting for me, he looks like a good player. I question whether or not on a team like West Coast, that role is going to be good enough to score well in. I think if he was playing for the Bulldogs and Kilda, Frio, like some of those other wings,
yeah,
I would like it a lot better. But West Coast being the lowest scoring side,
it's tough.
They're not a high marking team, because we always think of West Coast, like back in the day, they used to chip around a lot. They don't do that anymore. So he's like 390K, like nearly 400,000. I don't think it was a positive sign today, especially going against Richmond, how he looked. I think he looked good. I don't know if the fantasy scoring is going to translate. Elijah Hewitt, however, had a better role. He was probably the third guy in overall CBAs.
Probably makes him at least fifth.
Yeah, so, and again, 330,000. It's an interesting one. Maybe a similar sort of type to Lawler. Maybe slightly better team, so that maybe helps him a little bit more. So not as down on his game as I was compared to Hutchinson, but yep. We'll see when those other guys come back. The guy I actually walked away from feeling more confident about was Bo Allen.
Okay.
I actually thought he, of the three rookies from West Coast, he looked the best to me. He had the nicest role in defense, because I wasn't sure there was talk about him midfield defense. He was playing defense. Great kick on him. Can kick it bloody 80 meters, it looks like. So if he's named round one, I think he's a pretty good start so far from what I've seen.
We had one more game this afternoon. Geelong and Hawthorn, you had your eyes on this one as well.
Yeah, Max Holmes, first takeaway. He looked like Patrick Dangerfield in his prime today. Ooh. He looked like Harry Sheezel looked last preseason.
Okay.
Just found it everywhere.
It's everywhere, yeah.
Just spread, tackled well, kicked, I think, at least one, probably two goals, I think, in this game. Just was absolutely everywhere. I think he's going to be more midfield this season than it looks like, because he was like that Jack Sinclair role last year.
Yeah.
Mid 1 week, defense the next week. Based on this game so far, I think he could be their number one mid, basically, this year in terms of CBA percentage. So, little one that, it's got that early buy. He's a bit more expensive. But he could be like a Lachie Whitfield. Yeah, and he comes out and puts a big opening round score on our head. And I think a lot of people could be asking a lot of questions that maybe they weren't considering before with Max Holmes.
It's a tough one, because it's the worst of the buys.
Yes.
But it will make for interesting discussion if he indeed does that. And another guy that's making for interesting discussion is Sam DeConing. No Reece Stanley.
Yeah. So you looked up the team sheet, which was posted a day before the game.
Yeah, it was on Geelong's website, I think, and Reece Stanley wasn't on the outs list, but so then, unless Reece Stanley was hiding from us,
yeah,
we didn't see any Reece Stanley.
I didn't see any Reece Stanley. They put in Mitchell. I only got as far as his first name because it's a great first name. Edwards, I want to say. I'm going to look that up. Yeah, Mitch Edwards, who's a 19-year-old ruckman who, let's face it, he's not going to get a game. So they were just sort of putting some time into him. But De Koning was their preferred ruck in the first half. He split time with Blitzarves. I want to say roughly about 70-30, 70% De Koning, 30% Blitzarves. Blitzarves was playing defense when he wasn't there. So, again, we'll have round zero to confirm this, but if that's the kind of role we see in round zero and he scores decently, I think I'm ready to launch. I think he held his own too, was another positive thing. Like, we all remember the game where he versus Brother last year and he's got dominated. He went up against Lloyd Meek, who's a very respectable ruckman in this one, and I thought he definitely held his own.
Another year in the weights room.
Absolutely. Bailey Smith, he played. Played a bit of wing.
Yeah.
Maybe not as many CBAs as we would have hoped, but we're not overthinking this.
He's so cheap. He's a known accumulator. He'll get a front row.
If he played key defender, I'd still pick him.
He's got that much scoring pedigree, and he is cheap as chips on the good line.
Hawthorne, let's talk James Sicily. I have no more answers to any questions I had going into the game.
You text me before I got home.
I was Sicily excited in the first half.
And I was the one popping a half chub at that point because I've been big on Sicily since the start of the preseason. But going forward in that second half gives you more questions than answers, doesn't it?
So, yeah, and there's a few guys that we're missing. So CJ wasn't there. Carl Amon and Impey obviously played in the Indigenous All-Stars game. So not good, but nothing conclusive yet for Sicily. Yeah. But he did look good when he was playing in defence, I thought so. But the best part, I think, for Hawthorn was Will Day.
Day out.
He had it. Yeah, nice. 2-1.
That's good.
I think, to my eyes, he looked like Hawthorn's best player. Played predominantly midfield. Did have a few stints where he rested forward at times. He did kick a goal in one of those stints where he rested forward at the end of the, I think it was the second quarter or something like that. Spread really well. And he's kind of the only Hawthorn mid that's one of his strengths.
Yeah.
A lot of those guys are in and under players. So, yeah, he had several marks around the ground. So, again, ticking the boxes. I think everyone was there for Hawthorn in terms of midfielders. I don't think they were missing any midfielders for that one there. So,
not off the top of my head.
So, I think that's a pretty much a dress rehearsal.
Oh, was Connor Nash there?
Yeah, he was.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, he was in there.
Okay.
Did his thing, you know. Not much.
Got that, Connor.
His stuff starts when the real stuff starts.
Correct. Because
he's that defensive guy.
Yeah, correct.
Tick the box. We'll wait and see how structures turn out to see if he's an option there. But I'd like him just as much as I liked it before the game. So those are the games that have happened so far. Let's talk about some upcoming games.
The three-way.
What we're looking for. Yeah, we've got a threesome on Thursday night.
What's happening in the footy butt?
Yeah. Nice. And also Brisbane are versus Gold Coast and Collingwood. So I don't know exactly how they're going to run this. Whether or not, I think they
can be tough to know what to do and where to go.
A three-team game. They all on the same time.
It's just two playing while one watches awkwardly for the corner. Or,
yeah. Or there's 66 players on the field and it's just carnage.
One team holding the handy cam? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see how this works out. But what I think will happen is they'll probably play a half of two, another half. They'll do three different halves, I guess.
At least Melbourne aren't there. You wouldn't want it to be a Devil's three-way.
Oh, you can't. Mate.
It's not. David did it anyway. You got it. Nice. The link was there.
How do I come back from that?
You don't.
Honestly, probably these three teams are some of the least relevant teams that we're going into. But the main player I want to watch is Harry Perryman. He's come into my calculations a little bit more over the last week or so. Just as an option where you can't rule out anyone who's touted to play midfield as a defender.
Yeah.
So I want to watch his role. Houston will be there and these games won't be there in round zero. So in terms of that role and that matchup, this is the only time we're going to get to watch it in these practice games and the community series games. We won't get to see it in the round zero matchups. So that, to me, is the most important watch for those teams. Are you watching anything else from either of these clubs?
I wouldn't mind just having a little look at what happens at halfback for Gold Coast.
Yeah,
it's not, you know, uber relevant, I don't think, but it's good, I think, to watch the games with a little bit of an open mind as well. If you we've already learned that in the first four, if we were just watching the players that we were watching and we didn't have the blinkers off, so to speak, then there could be things that you miss as well. So, you know, keep an eye on that Gold Coast halfback line, see what Rioli's up to and the likes.
And Brisbane, I think just watching Levi Ashcroft, I think, is a big thing. Seeing where he sits in the side in terms of is he locked in that best 22? I mean, they're a tough side. They're they're premiers. So
is Will Ashcroft going to be lacing him up? Or normies don't lace him up till the real deal?
I don't know. I think he is.
But it's one of those ones. What he's going to play in the midfield? We know
I'd say he maybe plays half the time.
Yeah.
And sort of goes out there, ticks the legs over. But, you know, sometimes these younger players give it a bit more than the vets, and he still is definitely a young player. Let's talk about Sydney versus GWS.
This was the worst game from a viewing perspective last year.
This had the tree across.
There was a tree, and I feel like the camera was at about the 50 at one end. So when it panned to the other end, you had to not only get the camera zoom, then you had to get the binoculars at the same time.
And push the shrub out of the way. So hopefully it's a bit better this year.
Maybe they've sorted something out.
I'm watching a couple of young giants. I want to watch Connor Stone and I think it's James Leake.
Little giants.
Some little giants, little big fellas. And whether or not they're going to be lining up in round zero, I'm particularly interested in Leake because I think the defenders are a little bit thinner when it comes to our cash cows than the forwards. But I want to see if either or both of those can put their hands up, because this is also an avenue to having a round two bye player into our sides, which if you're going to use that as a loop, you're going to need that, because otherwise we might not have any round two byes in our team.
Early impressions is that I think Leake will be able to plug a hole in our defense.
Nice. And
too old, baby. Nice. Too old.
Good one. I think, I think Stone, from what I've read, is playing off half. This is not a joke.
Oh, okay. I thought you were gearing up.
Moving on. So he's playing off half back, I think is the word. Maybe plugging in the Isaac Cumming role potentially. Someone who can be a bit of a user off there to help out Whitfield. So hopefully he won't sink when it comes to picking him like a stone. All right. Let's go on.
That was such a stretch. That doesn't count. Sydney. It's still too old.
Yeah, no, that was bad. Sydney, we're watching Callum Mills, aren't we?
Yeah.
Are you one of these people? I find myself. One of the people. What are your thoughts on Matty Roberts? I am not as hot on him as some other people in the community are.
Yeah. The thing that does me in a little bit is I'm so expecting to pick Mills that picking Roberts is already hard just for that reason. So you're looking at, of course, two guys that have the same bye, and not only the same bye, but they have the hard bye. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, round three.
So that means to me that I've probably been a little bit resistant from the get-go to picking Roberts because I'm just expecting Mills to be in my team. But I can see why people are.
I can see it. I just, I think that we're maybe extrapolating what we saw at the back end of last year a bit too far. Like, he averaged 93.2 games in the final 10 games. And if he goes on to average 93 points, price at 76, like there's what? That's 15 points of value or just a bit north of that, which is fine. I just think that his role wasn't like dramatically different. Like, it's not like he went from, you know, forward to back. Like, he went from half back to playing half back better. And there was an injury. I think it was McInerney was out as well. So there's a few things that I think that maybe we're glossing over and painting him in a more positive light than I think is the reality. So, but all that said, he is someone that you could definitely watch. There is some upside, younger player. He's in my bloody keeper league team. So I'm hoping that I'm wrong, but I'm just not sure I see the consistent 90 plus average that we would probably need from him, as others do. But watching him nonetheless.
Round zero as well. Showdown time. Early match sim showdown. Port and Adelaide.
Probably one of the bigger... I think these next three games are probably the... Maybe the three most important watches.
Adelaide's midfield has been keeping me up at night.
Mm.
And I believe it's the same for you.
Do you expect we'll see... Because this is on Friday, I want to say. Do we expect to see Rankin back up after the Indigenous All-Star game? Do you reckon he'll be right to play by then? Maybe if he is, it might be managed minutes.
Yeah, I would say if it is, it'll be managed. I guess the question is why? That they know he's going to be in the team. They know the role.
I mean,
he's
playing maybe a different role. Adelaide have got a bit to work on still. They're not in that luxurious position where they can just kind of roll anything out there. So, like I said, Adelaide's midfield, I'm watching. From what I've seen and heard on Twitter on some intra-club games, Soligo seems to be playing a bit more on a wing than I would have expected.
Okay.
And if that's the case, it does open the doors to maybe all of the fantasy-relevant players, Dawson, Peatling, Rankin,
Draper.
To be Draper, the young cash cow, to be relevant. So that's a factor that I didn't expect. So I want to see, particularly Soligo, how much inside versus wing he gets and if that's real.
Over at Port Adelaide, I think our main area of interest is going to be that back line, and with some points missing, Dan Houston at Collingwood now, is there anyone in particular that's going to step up, or is it going to be by committee back there? And there's a few... guys that are cheap back there, that if they can get a little share
Josh
of the points.
Sin, it could Ryan be, Burton, even.
It could be friendly. And so it probably the horny boys in that same boat as Rankin, whether they want him to play after the Indigenous All-Stars game as well. So
he kicked three goals, didn't he?
He was good. Highlights. He was good. Sign up to Patreon, check out my write-up about the horny boy from the other day.
He's definitely still asking us a lot of questions. North Melbourne versus Melbourne. I'm keen to watch... I'm keen to watch Trent Rivers. He's my number one watch on this game. I want to see where he stands in the Melbourne's midfield's pecking order, and the relationship with him and Petrarca. How much is Petrarca playing forward versus midfield? Is there enough room in there for Rivers to maybe, in terms of CBA percentage, for him to be like the third guy, maybe even the second guy? Who am I? Blanking on the name.
Oliver.
Not Oliver. The other one. Viney. Like, is Viney still in there 80%+ sort of time? Is he a pure mid, nothing else? So I want to see Trent Rivers and see where he stands within Melbourne's midfield.
Yeah, over at North Melbourne, I mean, Colby McKercher is the one that we want to keep our eye on, and especially how his role kind of interacts with Caleb Daniel arriving at the club too. In North Melbourne's intra-club the other day, there was word that McKercher pushed up the ground and spent some time at half forward and was very damaging in that role. So I think that probably means, if that is the case, it's probably a little bit of stocks down. Despite the fact that he played well, the role is less fantasy friendly. So if that eventuates in the match sim and then again in the community series, that's going to be one to watch for sure.
I think another one that the flow-on effects for that one might also be Finn O'Sullivan. You know, maybe he potentially, like they've done with Sheasel, like they did with Colby, there's a little bit of talk about maybe he plays a bit of that wing half back role.
Yeah.
And if McKercher's not there, that opens a spot up for O'Sullivan to do that. So I think those two are linked together as well in terms of, you know, who benefits from what. St Kilda versus Carlton. Lots of fantasy relevant players in this one, but I want to talk about the other DeConing, Tom DeConing. I would love to have both DeConings in my side to start the year.
Yeah.
I want to see if Pitnett was talking shit early on and just trying to pump himself up, or if there's some truth to the fact that they're going to split the ruck role and who seems to be the preferred ruck in this matchup. Potentially not against a Rowan Marshall, so we'll see how that works out. So I'm very much looking strongly at that. DeConing versus Pitnett, and see if I can see which way Carlton's leading.
Yeah, we want to keep an eye on Carlton's halfbacks as well, Ollie Hollands, and then a guy that might not be playing halfback, but the Doctor, where's he at, and how does that whole dynamic work? They've got a few guys that can go to that halfback role and play it really nicely, so it's basically just who do they choose.
Yeah.
And For us, Hollins is cheaper, so if he can go back there and get some pill, that's in our best interests.
Hollins is one of those tough ones where we think he's underpriced. He's a breakout candidate, but we don't have a large sample size of like how much upside is there.
Yeah.
And even when he went to halfback for a few games in the last year, he didn't get many kick-ins. So I'm very much, I want to see him at least get a few kick-ins for Carlton. So we'll see how that goes. And a couple of rookies for St Kilda, Harry Boyd and Toby Trevallia. I'm also very keen to watch. And the pipes. Have you seen Harry Boyd's pipes?
No, you were telling me about this. I'm gonna give it a Google.
This man is he's given everyone a run for his money in terms of the pipes on him. Pull up the photo there. Oh, there was one circulating around. It was
okay.
It's pretty special.
We'll a bit have reminiscent to, of myself, would you say?
Sure. Whatever makes you sleep at night.
Nice.
But yeah, no. So he's definitely someone I want to watch out, and whether or not we think he is going to be there round one, even if Rowan Marshall's there and they play alongside him together. So definitely one to look. So those are the matchups that we've got coming up after this week. Then we've got the community series game, and then it's round zero, baby. So we're not that much more time to go, so very important watching. Remember who's not there, all those little asterisks we said at the start, guys. But drop us down in the comments section below over on YouTube. What are some key players and some key positions that you are... There you go, that's the photo.
Jesus.
Yeah, look at that little... Look at that ball inside his arm there, man.
Looks like my quad, but bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, he does curls.
Quads don't look half bad either.
Yeah, so the man hits the gym. Anyway, drop down in the comments, who are you watching in the preseason? How many times have you already changed your side since these practice matches have started? I've already made one change to my team, and that's what we're going to be doing over these next few weeks. Playing around, changing some things, looking at different structures. That is what the practice games are for, guys. But
fiddling.
A little bit of fiddling and also playing with your fantasy side. Let's head over to Ball Boys Patreon, patreon.com/theBallBoys. Sign up there today, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.